Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
We're on the series, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And I want to touch on something that I believe is very topical and something that would bless everyone here and everyone online. And so if you are here or you are joining us online, I'm going to ask that you please pay rapt attention tonight. It is really not an area I have dealt with in depth, but I want to go in depth tonight. Of course, I've mentioned things around it. And it is the question that we all ask in our thirst, in our quest for being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a question we all ask. I still ask that question. And what is that question? You know, when something occurs to you to do, and you think, yeah, this is God leading me, this is the Holy Spirit leading me, but then you come to a point where you're thinking, is it me just wanting to do this because it looks good? Like the apostle said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Now, it seems good to me, but is this me wanting to do it, or is this the Holy Spirit? That's one aspect I want to, pardon me please, because of the, my nostrils are very sensitive, so once I pick dust like this, I don't have to wake up with cold in the morning, and I don't have to have kata in the afternoon, just expose me to dust in a little 5 minutes, go sneezing. Some people have said that I shouldn't believe in Nigeria because overseas they don't have dust like we do have here. It doesn't happen to me overseas, it only happens in Nigeria. Maybe you guys will release me to go overseas. Would that be nice? But you don't mind this voice like this, like I'm speaking through the nose. All right. So is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? That's what I want us to address tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's start from the Old Covenant. We come to the New. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. The word of the Lord tells us, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? The spirit of man, not the brain of man, not the soul of man, the spirit. We know that man is a tripartite being, meaning that man is made up of three parts. Man is essentially a spirit, so I am a spirit, you are a spirit. Now, because you are a spirit, you have a soul. Man has a soul. Man, being a spirit, has a soul. So the soul actually is an integral part of the spirit. It took me a while to understand. You are a spirit. That's who you are. But I see your body, I don't see your spirit. Yeah. You are essentially a spirit. You have a soul. Now, what do we call the soul? Three parts. The mind, the will, the emotions that make up the soul. Then, you being a spirit, possessing a soul, you live in a body. So this body is our earth suit. Somebody say earth suit. The suit that we wear on earth. If you remove this suit, you become an illegal occupant on earth. So you don't have any legal right to exist here. That's why, see, when the spirit gets separated from the body, there is a service we carry out. It is called funeral service. The body will be laid to rest. Because the spirit that makes up, that gives life to that body, he's gone. We don't expect to see that spirit in another country. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we see that spirit having another body, which we will recognize because you are who you are. Amen. And that's why we will get to heaven and recognize one another. You see, the rich man that died, saw Father Abraham, recognized him, saw Lazarus, who used to beg at his gate, recognized him. So I believe that's the part of our spirit that deals with recognition, and that's called the soul. That's why I said they are together. So when we go to heaven, we're not just going with our spirit, we also go with our soul, because our soul has intellect, the mind, the will, the emotions. So we are able to recognize one another. Otherwise, we'll just be walking past one another, we don't know one another again. But because we have a soul, we'll still, hey, good to see you. And then we continue our fellowship. Amen. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us, that's where we have the separation. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole, number one, spirit, number two, and soul, number three, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are made up of the three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the writer of Proverbs, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the spirit of man. He didn't say the soul of man, and he didn't go to the body of man. He said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what do we use a candle for? Anybody wants to give us an idea what we need a candle for? Apart from some churches that have a different use for candles, under normal circumstances, a normal white candle, or maybe red. I haven't seen that before though. Oh, maybe decoration, some decor, yeah, interior decor. But some people have spiritual use for it. It's amazing. The thing is, see, candle is just wax. It has no life in it. But some people will turn that to a spiritual object. And yes, it will work for them because it will become demonized. All their activities are controlled by devils that are ready to work anyway, ready to destroy anybody's life. They can help to bring some fortune and then take the soul. That's it. So, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What is the function of a candle? What do we use a candle for? We use it to light up a room. Am I right about that? So, if a room is dark and then you go in with a candle and matches, right? You can be sure that you are going to have light. When God wants to light up a man, when God wants to give you illumination, when God wants to enlighten your eyes, it will go to the eyes of your understanding, and that is found in your spirit. Can I have an amen to that? When God wants to reveal anything to you about your life, past, present, future, anything about his plan for you, he will not reveal that to your brain. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Do you understand that scripture now? The B part of it says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, in the natural, you have the belly, all right? And so the writer said, that candle searches the inward part of the belly. You can agree with me that because our belly is not exposed, the inward part of the belly will be dark. It is shielded from light. Am I right about that? So if we need to see something in there, we need to light it up. In medical science, they have machines. When they want to scan people, they want to scan what is on the inside. They have all kind of x-rays and all kind of machines that they use to scan the tummy. Sometimes they are looking for maybe cancer cells or something like that. People are having some kind of strange sicknesses and all. They have machines that they can use to detect if there is a growth, a cancerous growth in that place, because that place is normally naturally dark. However, this is beyond the natural belly. So let's look into the scriptures for another place where we'll find the use of the word belly. And we will go to what Jesus said on the last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus cried out, and the media can even put that on the screen, and said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto me, and out of your belly shall flow," out of your belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That should be in John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 7 and verse 37. Yeah. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, singing, "If any man thirst," anybody, any man thirst, "let him." Now, any man, that includes me, glory be to God, I qualify. Can I have an amen to that? "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me," you believe on me, "as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Now remember, Proverbs said, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of where?" Come on, talk to me. Of where? The belly. Now Jesus is referring to the same belly again now. And Jesus said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Now what was he talking about? The Bible says in verse 39, "But this spake he of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." What does that mean? Jesus had not yet gone to the cross to die for us. And so the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, he said, if you believe in me, the Holy Spirit will flow out of your spirit like a river of living waters. The Holy Spirit will dwell in your spirit. So the belly of that man is still the spirit of the man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? God lights up your spirit, and everything locked up in your spirit begins to be revealed to you. Are you aware that your spirit knows everything that the Holy Spirit reveals to your spirit? Are you aware that your spirit does not have just the leg of the Holy Spirit? Are you aware about that? Are you aware that the day the Holy Spirit came into you, he didn't leave just his hand right there and say, "That's enough for you"? Are you aware that he left heaven and then he looked for accommodation and came fully into us? Are you aware? I'm saying, are you aware that you have the Holy Spirit in his fullness? Not in the measure, but in his fullness. Are you aware? Some of you are not very sure. So I'm saying it to you now. Be sure tonight that when the Holy Ghost moved into you, he didn't drop his shoes in you. Otherwise, some of us will be carrying just the shoes of the Holy Ghost. And some of us will have just the mantle of the Holy Ghost, the handkerchief. Some of us will have his leg. And I don't know how many places where we distribute his legs and his hands. We have him in fullness. He came into us in fullness. Can I have an amen to that? So you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in your spirit, man. Notice, in your spirit. And so your spirit knows Daniel chapter 2. It's just that not everything is revealed to your mind yet, because we already know. And that's why you need to pray a lot in the Holy Spirit, so that what your spirit knows can be communicated to your mind, where it becomes useful now to you. Amen. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know how many things. Come on now. Is that talking about you? Falaki, how many things do you know? I know all things, because the Bible says I know all things. Now, I don't know all things in the natural, but I know as much as the Holy Ghost will reveal to my spirit. And then it's my job to pull out of my spirit, to bring to my mind, so it can be useful for me, what my spirit already knows. When your key gets lost in your room, does the Holy Spirit know where the key is? Oh no, the Holy Spirit needs your help. I'm sorry, I don't know where the key is, but sit down, let us pray together, let's find out together. Would you ever hear such from the Holy Spirit? Would you ever hear such from the Holy Spirit? So, does the Holy Spirit know where the key is? But does your mind know where the key is? Does your spirit know where the key is? Does your mind know where the key is? Does your spirit know where the key is? How come your spirit knows where the key is? Give me the right answer. Because the Holy Spirit knows where the key is. Yes, connect the two. The Holy Spirit, who knows where the key is inside your spirit. Therefore, your spirit knows where the key is. But your spirit may know where the key is, and your mind refuses to know where the key is. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so if it's locked up in your spirit, and your mind is unfruitful, does that benefit anybody? Does that help anybody? Do you pray in tongues? Yes, you do. Right? But you need an answer, like right now. That's why you should be praying in tongues a lot. And not just praying in tongues a lot, be listening a lot after praying. Be still in your soul. The soul is very noisy. A lot of noise. A lot of distractions. Attractions of the flesh. Attractions of the world. All kinds of things are warring against our soul. So the soul is a noisy place. That's why I love that song, Silence the Noise in My Mind. Open the eyes of my heart. So, Lord, I know, precious Holy Spirit, that you know, that I know that you know, and we both know that you know where the key is. And I know also, my spirit knows where the key is. And I'm asking, precious Holy Spirit, that you'd allow that information to be revealed to my mind. I receive the wisdom of God in my mind now. It's in my spirit. Now I receive it in my mind, so that my mind can be fruitful, so that I can get it out, because I need it right now, Lord. Take a moment to pray. And then you keep quiet. There is something I call sanctified thinking. When you renew your mind a lot with the word of God, your thinking will become sanctified. God will be giving you thoughts, and those thoughts will be blessing your life. Do you know that when God wants to change your level from where you are right now to where you are supposed to be, it's just one thought. God is not going to zip open the heavens and then drop bags containing words, US dollars, pounds, sterling, Japanese yen. No, he's going to give you thoughts. One thought. You just think it. And I can do this thing. And then you go ahead and you follow through and you do it. And 2 years down the line, you are a multi-millionaire. Legit. Your life radically transformed. A young man was in my office today. He was a member here. before he graduated. And then he's married now. He's serving in one of our branches. When he was going to go, he came to me for permission. And I said, yeah, because we're starting a new branch. And I said, yeah, go and join them. Go and start. He was in UI. He was part of this Stone Campus Fellowship. And then from there, in church. I'm inviting him to come and talk to us on Sunday. This Sunday, I'm giving him about 10 minutes because we want to talk about tech a little bit. When he was going to work where he's working right now, he pitched the idea to me and talked about his tech training and all that. You know, at that time, tech was still very hazy. It wasn't very clear. But he told me everything, and as a pastor, I listened to everything he said. The ones I understood, the ones I didn't understand. And I thought, well, since it's really kind of your line, you did tech in UI, something technology, go ahead, do it. Embrace every opportunity. And then he went for the training, and it was rigorous, it was tough, and he would talk to me from time to time, and I would encourage him and all of that. Long story short, so he got this job in Lagos. The favor of God stepped in, so much so that as we speak now, he lives in Ibadan with his family, and he only has to be in Lagos 1 week in a month. So, literally, he's living in Ibadan and working remotely from Ibadan. And then, just 1 week to work in Lagos. Massive favor. That's like you're working for a company overseas, and the pay is good. He brought his car today, and I went to look at the car, and it's a very nice car. It was just one of my boys with Shoboto Tiri. His boys. So when he began to tell me all of the many benefits that have come from that work, I said, you know what? Don't just come and tell me to encourage people, because there's another training coming up, which he is now trying to facilitate, like giving back. Of course, it will cost some money, and some people will have the opportunity to apply for scholarship, and it's going to be intensive. It's going to be for 6 months. I said, I will add my voice to it. He told me this story. He said, one of the things he told me, he said, half of the people that he trained with then, when they were training, at least half or over half of them are living abroad now, doing the same work. In other words, you know, these tech skills are marketable all over the world now. Listen to me. That is the future. Are you getting what I'm saying? In every field, tech is the future. So if that is the future, then you better start thinking how to acquire tech skills relevant to what you're doing, because that's the future. One of my mentors, Papa Kenneth Copeland, said one of the secrets of success is to find out where everybody's going. Find out where they're going and then get there first. Is that where the world is going? Yeah. Tech is where everybody's going. Get there first. So when every other person is coming in, they're pushing you up. It's like a pyramid. It's like multi-level marketing. You have two legs. You bring other people. Two legs. Before you know it, four legs are under you. And those four legs will produce 16 legs. 16 will produce 32. As new people are signing in, you're going up. And you're earning more money. That's the way it is in life. You get there first. Now, you might not be first to get there right now, because a lot of people are already looking at it, but you can still make a distinction for yourself in that field. Are you getting what I'm saying? He told me the story of two guys who, the guy that owns the company in Lagos, he's a young guy, he attends the Baptist church. I'm telling you about sanctified thinking. I'm telling you about thoughts, how thoughts can come into your mind. Your spirit, yeah, first, and then communicate it to your mind, and can radically transform your life. He said these two guys were in his church, in his Baptist church, the church of the founder of the company. And so he just saw one of them one day and spoke to him and said, what do you do? The guy said, I'm a graphics designer. Oh, graphics designer, okay. Said, can I see your designs? And look at it. Oh, boy, come, leave that thing. Come up here. So he told him to apply for a training in tech. And then he, of course, sponsored it. That guy is in Ireland today. know, Ireland, where you have the city of Dublin, doing the same job with the same skill he got in Nigeria. He said, as a matter of fact, that guy built their website, and he built it for free. The website the company is using now, he built it for free from the scratch. They wanted to pay him, he said no. They have money to pay, he said no. He said, that's my way of giving back. The other guy that got the same training, scholarship training, also now is somewhere in Europe. Well, I mentioned his videos. He's also doing very well, the same job, same skill. He said, I have a lot of tech people. My people are tech savvy. In fact, we have a tech community. That would be a nice one. So come, bring it on. Imagine, as the thought came to the guy, if he aborted it. Those two people today probably will still be struggling. But God has used them to impact those two and many others. Because according to our own guy, half or over half of the people that he trained with in his class back then live abroad. And you don't really have to live abroad. You can live in Nigeria, work for companies abroad. That's the way the world is. That's where the world is going now. So you can go abroad on holiday and come back. I know a young lady in Lagos who is working in the UK. She's shuttling between the UK and Nigeria. Maybe about 3 months in the UK and then she comes back home. I mean, I know her one-on-one. It's not like what they told me. She told me herself. And it's still the same thing. And she's also, she has set up an academy in Lagos, somewhere in Agbara, Lagos, with her dad. Her dad has an engineering firm. So she set up an academy inside the firm. I've been there to see it. Zacchaeus was with me sometimes a couple of months ago. So I'm constantly on the lookout for opportunities for my own people, the young people. I've told the lady I'm going to bring you someday. Maybe if our schedule permits. I wanted to bring her in a blaze in October, but she says she'll likely be on schedule of work at that time, but she'll be coming to Nigeria in December. So we might organize something where I just bring her. Come and talk to my people. Expose us to those areas. Because the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Why? Because they know not how to go to the city. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. Are you with me, church? Some people will go into the same tech, they'll be frustrated. They bring nothing out of it. Because they don't know where to go. You see, but when you have a guide, and that's why the Holy Spirit is there. Our number one guide. It will bring thoughts to your mind. My guy told me so many testimonies upon testimonies. The nice car that I said he brought. He said, Pastor, you won't believe I don't have a naira in that car. And it's a very nice one. He said, that car didn't cost me one dime. Favor upon favor upon favor. So, the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of the belly. When God wants to search, scan, when he wants to scan your spirit or your life, he wants to give you an idea that will move you forward. He puts that in your spirit, not in your head. So it's your job, it's your responsibility to bring out of the treasures locked in your spirit up to your mind, where you can now say, oh, I see, let me do that. And then you do it, blessings begin to follow you. I shared the testimony of one of our ladies in this church. She was in Bible study like this, Thursday night Bible study. And I think I was talking about the renewed mind as well. And then she said it just occurred to her that she should start a business, open a spa, some kind of salon, and boom, that's it. Something bigger is even coming up now, which she has told. See, if each of us, every one of us, becomes successful, it does not intimidate God. It is actually the will of God. Do you understand that? 3 John and verse 2. Every statement I make tonight, I want to show you from the Word of God. So this is real strong meat. which you still need to go back home and digest. 3 John and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, we all know that scripture, that thou mayest, number one, prosper, number two, be in health, number three, even as what prospers. Do you know your spirit can prosper, and it does not automatically mean that your soul is going to prosper? And if your soul does not prosper, your physical life will not prosper. That's why you have spiritual people in church who are not doing well on the outside. Financially, zero. Career-wise, zero. But the brother is always in church. Does he speak in tongues? Yes, he does. Now, I'm not talking about people at a stage in their lives when they are still going through their journey. Like, this is your level now. I don't expect you to bring a Lamborghini right now. But if you do bring one, we'll sit down and talk about it. How did you get it? Hey, can I have an amen to that? I'm not saying that you cannot begin, because I actually desire that you begin to prosper, you know, financially and otherwise right now. Now, but so we're not judging people that, now see this brother now. That's the person pastor is talking about. No, I'm not talking about anybody. Because there was a time in my life also that I did without. I didn't have many of the things that I desired to have. I didn't have a car. And then having a car was like, Lord, only you can tell when that is going to be. My father didn't have a car. He had a scooter, a Vespa. So I desired to drive a Mercedes right from when I was young. Because I had an uncle that had a Mercedes. And that's the power of exposure. When you're exposed to something, it becomes a seed. A seed sown into you, into your mind. And then you feel, because you've seen someone do it, then you know it's possible. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was when, in 1 Samuel 17, that David brought down Goliath, that other people knew that a normal person could actually bring down a giant. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so later in his ministry, David was not the only one that killed a giant. His men, the men he trained in the cave Adullam, also brought down giants because David was a first mover. Somebody say first mover. First mover is someone who does something that nobody has ever done. That's like a trailblazer. But when it is done, I'm telling you, give them a little time, other people will break that record. Other people will break that record. There are many examples in the natural that I can give you, but I don't want to be distracted. Now look at this. He said, even as your soul prospered. So your prosperity, number one, your being in health, number two, the two of them will depend. Glory to God. They will depend on number three. They will depend on the prosperity of your soul. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Come on, talk to me. In your spirit. So something needs to be done about your soul. Christians are not paying attention to the soul. That's why Holy Ghost anointed people, Christians speaking in tongues, are depressed. Many people are depressed in the church. People come to church and they go back home and commit suicide. Not in our church anyway, and it will never happen here. But you've heard stories like that. You know what has happened to them? Their soul failed to prosper. And when we talk about prosperity of the soul, we're not talking money here. There are people who have won awards. There are musical icons whose names we don't want to mention. People that have owned tech. We're talking about tech now. Tech companies. One of them in Lagos not too long ago jumped down from some story building and died. Why did he commit suicide? Why did he kill himself? It's a story for the gods. The question for another day. Nobody knows. There are times people reach the pinnacle of their career and they feel very empty. There's a void in them. The soul is not prospering. So the prosperity of the soul is not just for finances. Do you love the Lord with all your soul? Not just your heart, your soul. Where decisions are made, are you making decisions that are kingdom oriented, Christ centered? When you are alone, do you think about the Lord? Do you possess him? Do you give him land? Plots of land, acres and hectares of land in your soul. Because the Lord wants to enter that place and take hold. The devil also wants to enter your soul and take hold. When the devil enters, it comes in with darkness. That's where people get suicidal thoughts. That's where they get it from. And if not controlled, not checked, and no help, they end up taking their lives. Even though they are prospered financially, they have all the nice cars and the big houses, but the Lord, there was no space for the Lord in their soul. So their soul didn't prosper. That's also what happens to pop stars in America and some other countries of the world. They make all the money, but because Jesus is not there, the devil ensures that they don't care about Jesus. And so he zooms into their soul, builds a tabernacle there, gives them all the fame and everything they want, but then he possesses the soul. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses what? His own soul. We need to pay attention. When the psalmist said in Psalm 124 verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. He said the snare is broken and we have escaped. It means the soul can be enclosed and encircled by the enemy. But what happened to our own soul? Escaped. How? As a bird out of the snare, out of the cage. So somebody's soul can be caged. That's why when you look at someone going through depression, the sparkle in their eyes is gone. If you are trained in that field, maybe psychology or medicine, anything that has to do with therapy, you can tell when you meet someone that is depressed. The sparkle in their eyes is gone. Why do some people get into depression? Somebody jilted them. A boyfriend said, I'm not interested in you anymore, body shaped them, and then fall into depression. You know why? Because their soul has never been prosperous. A prosperous soul is a balanced soul. Man, if you walk out of my life, bang, forever. You have that decision to regret. Because in Christ, I am complete. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, they have all the money. Now, okay, I'm going to do without money for some time, but I tell you, I'm going to make my own money. And if guys not taking, I'm still going to employ you. That's why you need to meditate on God's word to enrich your soul. To enrich your soul. Things happen that can shake you, but they won't break you. Because your soul is enriched. Your soul is anchored. Anchored. Like a ship that is anchored by the seashore. When the waves come and they blow and they beat against the ship, you won't find the ship on the high seas drifting away because it is anchored to the seabed. Hope is the anchor of the soul. And don't forget how we get hope. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Some people have thought over the years that you need to have hope first because it's the substance. Faith is the substance of things that you have already hoped for. No, that's not what the Bible says. The word substance, that's why it's good to do a little bit of Greek sometimes. The New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The word substance is the word hypostasis. And simply put, it means that which stands under. What stands under a building? Come on, talk to me. Foundation. As we are in the building right now, there is something under this building. It is called the foundation. That's the word substance there. So if you put foundation there, it says, now faith is the foundation of things hoped for. So which one comes first? The foundation or the building? Foundation. So faith first. And then hope is built on faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is hope? Confident expectation. come on, I'm blessed and highly favored. Anyway, as I'm stepping out today, I'm going to really be blessed. I'm telling you, somebody's going to get out of their way to bless me. That's the way you should be thinking. It is hard for Satan to get you depressed when you're thinking like that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody has given you a bad news. That's not my portion. I reject it in the name of Jesus. The word of God gives me more than enough news. More than enough good news. I have good news. I am too encouraged to be discouraged. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, Pastor Fred is coming up. Please, let's encourage him. Encourage him. No, I don't need. I don't need encouragement. I don't need encouragement to pastor this church. I'm too encouraged to be discouraged. Are you getting what I'm saying? The day people come and the building is packed, I'm encouraged. The day we have just half of the population, I'm encouraged. The day we have quarter of the population, I'm encouraged. I'm too encouraged to be discouraged. I will not go home. And then my wife will say, why are you not eating? I feel very sad today. Look at how many people showed up in church. Excuse me. I left that level many, many years ago. The years of looking through the window. Let's see who is coming. This is the day that the Lord. You almost. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Glory be to Jesus. So, when the thought comes, is it me? Is it the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this question. When you say, is it me? What do you mean? Do you mean your flesh? Or do you mean your spirit? If it is your flesh, you have got it wrong. Because your flesh will help you to miss it. That's what the flesh is configured to do. It will help you miss God every time. You see, when God is leading this way by His Spirit, your flesh wants to go this way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the flesh is not born again. And so, it will try to continue to rule you. And number two, if your mind is not renewed by the word of God, oh my goodness, your flesh that is very stubborn and the mind which is not renewed, they will team up and start controlling your spirit. They will dominate your spirit. And when they dominate your spirit, you will be reduced to a carnal Christian. Carnal. Do you know carnal Christian? A baby Christian. You will never grow. You will continue to fall over and over again. Same thing. You know, like the way a baby walks, a baby gets up and falls, gets up and falls, gets up and falls, gets up and falls. And some people have remained like that for 10, 15, 20 years. No spiritual progress. Same thing that used to trip them 20 years ago when they gave their life to Christ. The same sin they're struggling with right now. That means you're not growing. Because when you grow, you stop putting money in your mouth. You know, if you give money to a baby, where does it go? If you give corn to a baby, where does it go? If you give pampas to a baby, where does it go? If a baby is crawling and sees the poo of a dog and doesn't do anything and puts his can't even smile, where is it going? That's how you know a baby. And many Christians today are baby Christians. Carnal. You know what it means to be carnal? To be body ruled. Body ruled. Your body is ruling you. Jamboree here today, they are there. Jamboree here tomorrow, they are there. There's a new church in town. They have the best music. Boom, that's where they go. Another church springs up. I've always followed that church from Abuja. I followed them online. Man, they're in the battle now. That's where I go. Boom. Where's your place? You have no permanent address. If your church is not feeding you, you can change your church. I can guarantee you that. If your church is not feeding you, because it means they're giving you junks. If they're giving you junks, then junks can destroy, like they can destroy the natural body. Junks. It's not healthy. Even in America today, they are fighting that. People are trying to go organic. They don't want GM products, GMOs anymore. Genetically modified products. You can see tatashi, small tatashi like this. Nigeria organic tatashi. American tatashi like this. 2014, the first time I saw one, my host wife went to the market and she brought some pepper. And she brought it. And she, Pastor Fred, see our tatashi? I said, what's this?
I mean, I was so stunned. I took a picture with it. In fact, I made a video with her. Sister Tashi, very, very massive. They are genetically modified. You can see mango the size of your head. This is mango. You know those kind of things. And they're not very healthy. Not very healthy. Are you getting what I'm saying? The ones we eat, Ibile. Go for Ibile. Ibile is very good. Apologies to my American friends. They're watching. Glory be to God. But they know what I'm talking about. Even in America, everybody's trying to go organic. Those organic things are more expensive than the GM. Right? Right? So I was saying, your body, don't be body rude. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul said something there. Before I go there, let me make another statement. So I said, when something occurs to you, is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? So when you say, is it me? If it's your flesh, it will lead you into error. You understand that? The flesh is not born again and is not planning to be born again. Nobody's flesh is born again. We were saved, spirit. We are being saved, soul. We shall be saved, body. That's on the day of the Lord. The day we drop this mortal body and take up the immortal body. That's the day that this body shall be saved. Finito. Right now, don't give your body room. Don't make provision for the flesh. Because if you allow this body lead you, brother, you'll be speaking in tongues and you'll be surprising yourself. You will do things that will shock you. Things that you renounced years ago and said, never in my life. Oh no, I will not watch an unclean thing. Brother, you will place an unclean thing before you like this. You will watch with relish. I hope that English is correct. You will enjoy it. You're not the part of you that is enjoying it. I guarantee you 100% your flesh. Every time a believer commits sin, your spirit does not agree with that sin. Your spirit disagrees with your flesh. It's not your spirit that sins, it's your flesh. I can guarantee you 100% that your spirit did not participate in that sin. Your spirit did not agree. Your spirit argued with you, tried to check you, restrain you, stop you. But your flesh was stronger. It has been fed food. And in cooperation with your mind, the two of them, they are co-conspirators, they are coup plotters, they carried out the coup on you. And your spirit withdrew a little bit. And your spirit was sad. And your spirit felt very bad. And you cried, Lord, poor. No, I messed up. Forgive me, Lord, I don't do it again. That's your spirit. So if it's your spirit that is making that thing occur to you to do, like you're saying, is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? If it's your spirit, go ahead and do it. Because your spirit has been recreated after God. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? First John chapter 3 first. First John chapter 3. And we look at verse 1. First John chapter 3. Is somebody getting blessed with this teaching tonight? He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. That's not what I want to read. Yes, it's the same chapter. Go to verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. Some people have been confused with this scripture for many years. He cannot sin. So some people are taking it to the extreme. When I sin, it's my flesh, it's not my spirit, you know. My spirit has nothing to do with it. Correct. But nothing is more dangerous than half-truth. You cannot always allow your body to continue to lead you, to continue to rule you. It will lead you to a point where you are going to destroy your entire you. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'll come to that scripture in Romans chapter 8. Now, this scripture is talking about your spirit. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit is born of God. The day you gave your life to Christ, you became born again. Your spirit man became born again. Your spirit man. Somebody say, my spirit man. Now, for his seed. Now, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, so your spirit will not commit sin. Why? Because, that is the word for, because his seed. What is the seed of God? The word of God. The word of God. Somebody say the word of God is the seed of God. Now look at, we'll come back to this scripture very quickly. Let's quickly flip over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Jesus, the head of the church, gave a parable, and in revealing the meaning of the parable, he said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Somebody said the seed is the word of God. So go back to 1 John that we're in. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. He said, for his seed, that means his word, remains in him. Where does the word of God dwell? In your brain or in your spirit? Come on, talk to me. In your body or in your spirit or in your soul? In your spirit. In your spirit. So the word of God, which got you saved, got your spirit saved. The word came to your spirit, and the word dwells in your spirit. Therefore, your spirit carrying the word of God will never, ever desire to go back to sin, to go back to do the things that you used to do. Your spirit would never agree because it's carrying the seed of God. His seed remains in him. His seed. His seed. That word seed is also the word sperm. How you came to this world. When you talk about this gamete, maybe for a better word, of a man, it carries the code, the genetic code of that man. That's why you look like your dad, or like your mom, or like both of them. You understand? You took a little from this person, a little from that person, maybe your mom's height, your dad's complexion, and then maybe facial expression more towards your mom or more towards your dad. You know, some baby girls actually look like their dad, and they turn out very beautiful most times when a lady looks like her dad, and in some cases like the mom, because she's very pretty, good to look at. But whatever the case may be, whatever you carry is information from their genes. Some of you are very hairy because your parents are hairy. So in the natural, we have parents, all right? We didn't drop from cherry trees or apple tree, mango tree. We have natural parents. And so we have their nature in us. We took our nature from them, right? Every time I look at my fingers and I clench my fist like this, I tell you, I can almost see my dad's hands. And guess what? Check out my son. When he does the same thing, my wife has cried many times. It's like mine. They're like my hands. He himself says, he said, daddy, it's like your hand. I see your hand in my hand. Well, glory be to God. If they had looked something else, I would have questioned, where did you get this from? Amen. Praise God. We, in the natural, we all get those things from our parents. Emmanuel, I know here, looks like his dad. You know, but of course, a combination of dad and mom. And then if you look at the brother, I'm still wondering who the brother looks like. Is it the dad or the mom? Or the guy just combines both of them? Now, we all are like that. All of us. How? Now, think about it. In the spiritual realm, we are born of God. When you gave your life to Christ, you became born again, born of God, who should you look like? God. What part of you looks like God? Your spirit. Therefore, your spirit cannot see. Do you understand that? It will never enjoy sin. If you are truly born again, this is how you know you are born again. If you backslide, you go back and maybe you go to the club and you drink and you do keep of she vape le manque vape and shisha. Huh? As you are doing like this, you won't enjoy it again. You might enjoy it 2 minutes, you drop it, you go to the corner. God, why? Lord, forgive me now. That you and God, you are fighting. You are not fighting now. But you don't have peace. You go home, you try to sleep, you can't sleep. You are rolling on your bed. You know why? Because the seed of God is in you now. Unlike that time when you were empty, before you met Christ, you were empty, zero. So whatever the devil suggested you did and you enjoyed it. But now, hey, there is a spirit in you. Say, brother, in fact, to do it now will take more effort. Because you want to enter the club. Nobody sees the future like you. You can almost see it next week. Look everywhere. I hope there's no church member here. And especially if you have been going out on evangelism, you have gone out once or twice. You have told your old friends, oh boy, show you again. Verily, verily, I don't know scripture much, but verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. And the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Those were my scriptures in GS1. And I won some souls. GS1. Those two scriptures. John 3:3. I didn't know more than that. Then I know, Romans 3:27, I think. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, for the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is that death that we're emphasizing. The wages of sin is death. And those bad boys, their heart will prick with fear. Hey, I don't want to die. I say, you will die, unless you give your life to Christ. Now, having been born again, now you have the seed of God. You cannot be comfortable in sin anymore. Did you hear what I said? God forbid. If I want to carry a babe now to prepare. In Ibadan. Azao. Now, the first thing is, which hotel? You know the first thing that occurred to me? What if you get there and the receptionist is not even your church member? But someone whose church you have gone to preach. And as you are entering, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. The Lord bless you, sir. Your ministration really blessed me. No, side chick is in the car. I just came to collect room. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. So I just want to make inquiries. What are the room rates? How do you say it? That you brought again. How? Or that you both walked in and then they can almost tell that. I mean, you know, those things, they have a way. There's a way of showing you. We don't know that this cannot be his wife. How? It's tough for a believer. Some people defy all the odds. Still go ahead and do it all the same. Care. And that's why over time, by the time they are exposed, it is beyond repair. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is not in the business of exposing and disgracing his children. He will warn you. But if you keep being body ruled, the body will shame you. That's the real definition of body shame. People think that is when they abuse you, you are too big, you are too thin, that's where you are. No. The body is configured to shame you if you don't tame your body. Come on, that sounds like some rhymes. You got some lines there? Some lyrics. You got to pay me. Copyright. Now, let me show you a scripture. Have we looked at that 1 John 3:9 very well? So it says that he cannot sin because your spirit... So if your spirit is the one leading you, you are right. Go ahead and do whatever your spirit says. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll give you a personal example. But before I do that, let me go back to that 1 Corinthians 3 that I quoted earlier. I want us to look at it. 1 Corinthians 3. Please give me about 10 minutes. I'll wrap up. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Can you imagine? Paul was talking to the church at Corinth. He said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people. So I had to bring down my language as unto carnal people. Like I'm talking to carnal people, even babes. What is the meaning of carnal? Body rule. Don't forget that tonight. Body rule. Don't forget body shame. Don't forget tame your body so it doesn't shame you. Don't forget those things. The Holy Ghost brought them. They're not in my notes. I don't even have a note. I'm speaking from my spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Now, look at the next verse. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Because they can't take meat. Because they're babes. When you have a newborn baby, do you put kundi in his mouth? Or chicken? Fried chicken? Kentucky fried chicken? Newborn baby, you will choke that baby to death. What does a newborn baby appreciate? Milk. There's somebody in this hall. That boy sucked something called milk. Whenever he was suck. When he was full, his nose will now be expanding. Like this, the nose will be dancing. He said, go to yo! Then we'll rub our palm, maybe my palm or my wife's palm, on his back. Then he will belch. He will not let go. He will still hold on to it. He will sleep there. He will wake up. For over 2 years, there was one of the mamas in church that said, one day, we got in the car after Bible study. We were going home. My wife sat at the back. Of course, he would tell them. This person was also sitting with the mother. And then we had this elderly woman. And then this person was now giving signs to the mother. He had the way of doing signs that the mother would understand. And then she would lift her blouse up. The mama said, I'm not saying whether it's brother or auntie, but Agbalagba. That was when we began the winning process to win him off. It was a fight. Babes like milk. When you are not growing as a Christian, you just like motivational talks. A little bit here and there. Nice things. When a raw word that challenges your lifestyle comes, you will fight it. But you need that. We all need that. I need the word of God to correct me so I don't go into perdition. You know, I give it to you in this church many times. You say, Pastor hit you alone, you will be below the bell. Man, that was, man. Because we need it. Don't let me just tell you, don't worry. No matter what you do, you're blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody can take away the blessing. Yeah, that's part of it. But not the complete truth. The grace of God covers you no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter where I go, no matter. I pray you don't walk out away from the umbrella of grace. It will keep you. He has given his angels charge to keep you in all your ways of obedience and service. I have an amen to that. Paul said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. As unto babes. Look at verse 3. How did he call them babes? For he said, verse 2 also, he said, for he that told you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. In other words, they didn't grow. When I ministered Christ to you, you couldn't bear strong meat. Yeah, you were babes then. I expect that by now you should have grown. He said, but even now, you are still not able to bear it. Somebody can remain a babe in a baby Christian for 50 years. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with your chronological age of how many years you gave your life to Christ. How many years ago you gave your life to Christ? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I gave my life to Christ in 1991 up until now, how many years now? Roughly, how many years? That's on 34 years. Let me tell you something. Somebody could give their life to Christ 3 years ago and would have grown more than you. If your growth is a choice. You choose to open your Bible. You choose to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You choose to bring the Spirit. You choose to go out and evangelize. You choose. I may just choose to be doing in the morning. Early in the morning, I will rise and praise the Lord. Take glory, Father. Take glory. So 5 minutes, that's all I owe God every day. Oh, la da ba da ba da ba. God, Father, we thank you. Father, Lord, Daddy, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, Daddy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, my Father. As I go out today, bless me. Bless my dog, bless my family. Take care of us. Give us this day our daily bread. That's your prayer. Never have you tried to bring the Holy Ghost 1 hour. Never. And someone else is bringing the Holy Ghost 1 hour every day. Abba, you won't grow at the same level. Never have you tried to sit down with the Word of God. You don't even have a Bible. The only time you read the Bible is Sunday morning when they project on the screen. Okay, yes. Some take note, they never go back to the notes. Some take note, they're like the Berean Christians. They go back home and check if those things were actually so. Because pastor's mouth will be sweet. Do you know how many Christians don't read their Bible? Today they quote apostles. They quote bishops. Bishops so-and-so said. Apostles so-and-so said. When you see two baby Christians arguing, the argument is very funny. If you're a spiritual person. No! He was apostle. He cannot be right. Because this one is a senior apostle now. He's older than him. The bishop said. So it's the word of the apostle against the word of the bishop. Neither of them knows the word of God. No! The word of God Almighty. They don't treasure it. You don't even have a Bible. You know how many Christians don't have a Bible? You don't even have a Bible. And you have clothes. You are not ashamed. Pastor, there's no money to buy Bible. Go and sell one of your clothes and buy Bible. You have made a worthwhile investment in your life. Let it be written against your name that you once sold a property to buy yourself a Bible. Do you know a truly blessed man? Take all his property away from him. His car, his house, everything. But leave it with the Bible. The Bible will produce everything in multiple forms. But you know what the devil is doing? He's giving us material things. More, fame, money, everything, babes, drugs, everything. Enjoy yourself. And then, but the Bible is gradually taking it away from many people. Today, people even come to talk with phone, no Bible. I see preachers and I'm exasperated in my spirit. A preacher. They invite you to come and preach and you bring your phone. No Bible, just a phone. I know there are Bible apps on your phone. Thank God for your cheap phone. We too, we have phones. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is part of our culture. Your phone is not a holy phone. Your phone is not your Bible. In one church in America, Lakewood Church, they say, lift up your Bible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I believe what it says, etc., etc. Now, I was chatting with one pastor. I said, so you have no Bible now. That pastor is always carrying iPad. I said, you say, this is my iPad. It contains my Bible. I am what the Bible inside the iPad says I am. I said, that's too complicated. He almost wanted to beat me that day. Because I can be very factual. This Bible is getting old. Huh? I'm going to get myself another Bible. My birthday is around the corner. I'm going to get myself another one. A gift. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have other Bibles. I love it. Because someday, when I'm 120, my great-great-grandchildren will run around in my big house. Because I will have a big house. You see, man, we found great grandpa's Bible collections. Because they won't speak this kind of English. That's what I'm speaking in. They will speak better. My daughter is already speaking better now. Yeah, mom. Bile. Verse 3. Please forgive me. What time is it? Oh, no, I need to stop. Please let me stop. Let me just read this one. Stop. 3 minutes. 5 minutes. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas. Now, why did he. Now, please get this. I'm stopping now. I mean it. Why did he call them carnal? Let's get that point before we sign out tonight. I'll take it off from here. Do we have Bible study next Thursday? Is there Bible study next Thursday? I want to be sure what our program looks like. That's what I'm asking. I know every Thursday is supposed to be Bible study, but the last Thursday encounter. So next Thursday is still fresh, like second Thursday, August. Good. Right. So I'll take it off from here next week. For ye are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you, what's among them? Envy and strife and divisions. Are ye not body ruled and walk as men? One translation says, and walk as mere men. In other words, the believer in Christ is not supposed to be living an ordinary life. He's not supposed to be walking as a mere man. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not kind? I'll take it up from here next time. But look at the indications of carnality. It's not always about sexual sins. That one too is part of it, because he wrote to them as well to address it. But he said, there is envy among them. Today in the church, people envy. I've cried before because of envy. I cried. Why did I cry? God blessed me with a car. And the envy was so terrible. Some people accused me of using a blessed money to buy myself a car. How much came in for a place? Not up to 2 million that year. The whole budget was maybe 1.8 million. And they don't sell that car for 2 million. They never sold it for 2 million. Except the miracle that happened at the gate of Samaria happens in Nigeria. That car can't go for 2 million. I don't know your prayers. But, God will bless Nigeria. I'm not in doubt. But it's not likely. They sell the Corolla now about 8 million, 8.5 million. Toyota Corolla. Corolla that used to be 1.7 million, 1.5. Big Daddy, Camry, 1.7, 1.6, 1.5. Muscle, 1.8, 2.2. In this same country. The exhaust, it has what they call catalyst. Somebody told me, he said, each of those catalysts, the cheapest you find it is 250,000. And the car has two. So when you hear my car say, that's 500K. Only God could have given me one. And I'm thanking him, because I use that thing to travel. I want to go and preach in Niger. I'm going to repair, have a business. I'm going to Lekki. I'm going to Isenyi to go and preach and minister. I say, yeah, guys, follow me. Let's carry books. We are going to minister Christ. That one is able to go. I took the Mitsubishi one time. He died when we got to Isenyi. As we approach a bump like this, as we climb the bump, he gets minister with my suit. Sunday morning, I got down. Favorista was with me on that trip, and me, and then you said it. I was in the year of Shego Niki. They all got down, all of us, men in suit. We started battling with the car. We opened the bonnet. So, what could be the problem? Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Lord, sometimes that car. Somebody was going on the bike. He just saw us, men in suit. He turned. Said, do you need them? We need them! Come. He was the one that rescued us that day. Got us a battery or something like that, maybe head. We drove it to the same car. I was still going to preach. So when I parked the car in the camp, I said, Lord, do not suffer thy servant to be disgraced. Because the Holy Ghost will move here. When I'm done and the Holy Ghost has moved, don't let me gather coppers to push the car or the guest minister to walk. Those NCCM brothers, they will do it gladly. Say, man of God, but I will not be glad. So Lord, I beg you, I pray thee, when I start it, let it start. And the Lord hearkened to my cry. But man, I don't want to be living that kind of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't want to. It's not very nice. But it's part of my story. And I thank God I have that story. But some people want that to be perpetually my story. In the church, I did not come. Do you know how many people that God has lifted in this church? Each of them, when they come to share their testimony, is like you are riding a horse in my belly. families rejoicing. Ah, God, I thank you. You've lifted this one too. A boy came recently. Another person, not the one that came today. Another person. He got a job. It's a tech job too. He said, Pastor, the salary is rich. You could not even tell me. And I did not ask. Sometimes I ask. I was still asking him. Just giving him thanks. It's not around you. I said, you will share your testimony. Ah, Pastor, I will share it. How God did it. Pastor, ah, the salary. Ah, everything. Said, ah, hey, what is going on? Ah! Let me see the title. When he was leaving, I said, the title is, ah, yes, ah, 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 I repeat that. Pay title. I said, I repeat that. That's very good. I am joyful that God is lifting people, making a statement for himself, making somebody out of a nobody. And everybody is somebody anyway, because we have Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no limit what each of you can become. And I see God lifting you. I will report you to God. Three people said amen, Lord. Get on your feet, everybody. Amen. Praise God. Were you blessed tonight? Let's give him thanks. Father, we honor you and praise you. Thank you for this time of fellowship. We love you. We are very grateful. You taught us the word tonight. You fed us with food convenient for us like we did ask at the beginning. Lord, let this word remain in our spirit. We rebuke the devil who would come to try to steal the word from us. He will not be able to steal this word from our hearts in the name of Jesus. We will not be distracted. We will not get into envy and strife. We will not go back into sin. Nobody will go back into fornication and all kind of sins and lying and all of that. No, they will be far from us in the name of Jesus. We will walk uprightly and righteously, and we will continue to be ambassadors of your kingdom. We will represent you everywhere, and your blessings will be showing and flowing in our lives. They will be flowing and showing. Flowing and showing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father, because nobody will get the opportunity to pity us again. They will envy us. And those who are very happy and full of your spirit will celebrate you in our lives, because they will know that this is not by our own effort, but your grace. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.